Hello, hello. This is Dale Johnson with Andrew Salmon and Trip Hood for the Sports Care Learning Podcast. It's a nice spring day where it's sunny outside and it just finished snowing.
North Carolina. Yep. That's North Carolina weather. Snowing one day. Well, it's still kind of cold, but it's been kind of up and down. A little weird here.
I mean, the snow was melted before it finished snowing, so it's weird.
It was weird. It was on a Wednesday, and I only have one class on Wednesday. And my professor, at 10 a.m., like, okay, I'm going to see how it works out, see how it goes. Like, half an hour later, he's like, okay, class is canceled. And I was like, oh, sweet, class is canceled. And about, the class is at 2 o'clock. And I think about 2:30, I looked at my laptop, and she sent out another message like a half an hour after that, saying, wait a second, class isn't canceled, just please come in. I'm thinking, well, I'm half an hour in already, so I guess I'm not moving.
Professor's man.
What are you going to do with them?
Yeah. And speaking of what you're going to do with them, what are you going to do with all these free agents and all these draft picks and all this money in the NFL going on right now? Because we're about, 3 weeks to a month into NFL free agency, and it's just been crazy. And these teams are trying to win the offseason Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, they are. Some interesting moves have come along. It seems like a lot of teams are trying to stack one position, like the Rams. They kind of brought in two corners, and then the Bucks just yesterday, they traded for JPP. So now they're apparently going to have him there, and I think they're targeting Bradley Chubb from NC State now. So, I mean, that's kind of the rumors swirling around that, but yeah, the biggest thing I think for free agency is it's making so many of the other dominoes fall when it comes to the NFL draft. Like, so many guys are, what are the Jets doing? I'm still not sure. I mean, if they're trading up to three, they've got to be going quarterback. But for free agency, they just brought in Teddy Bridgewater, and they re-signed their Josh McCown, who played pretty good last year. So, I don't know, just a lot of weird things happening right now.
As someone who lived in Connecticut for a decade, you just give up trying to figure out what the Jets are doing. They do stuff. Josh Rosen, they're going to get a quarterback. It could be Josh Rosen, it could be Sam Darnold, it could be Josh Allen. And I understand the point of re-signing a veteran quarterback like McCown to maybe mentor him, but Bridgewater's what, 25, 26? He's still fairly young. He's coming off his knee injuries, but before he was injured, he was progressing as a good quarterback for Minnesota. He took him to a playoff game and was a shank field goal away from being the Seattle Seahawks in a playoff game. So, I know what, I still think Jets are going to pick a quarterback, but it seems like they're just stacking the position up with a bunch of quarterbacks.
I think you got to assume that at least one of those quarterbacks will not be on the final roster come the start of this season. And, you know, you saw it with Jared Goff in L.A. It's starting to become more common for these teams to draft a player, and he may be a little bit raw. You know, they may be looking hard at Josh Allen, who's got a great build for the NFL, but he is a little raw. And so you may be bringing in Bridgewater to even offer him some competition over the summer. Yeah. You know, and never mind the rest of the year if Bridgewater or McCown does get the starting job. So
yeah, Josh Allen, he's a lot raw. I mean, I was listening to some analysts break him down on TV the other day, and apparently there's like two plays they just keep replaying over and over because there's, you know, just a handful of guys in the world that can make the throw he makes on those plays. But apparently a lot of the easier things to do, he doesn't do so well. So it's kind of, you know, is a guy like that worth the number three pick in the draft? That is the windiest stadium in the NFL, so they need a guy with a big arm. He's definitely got that. But, yeah, I would imagine McCown or Bridgewater has to be a placeholder for whoever they take at number three. They have to take a quarterback. I mean, there's no way they trade up for that and don't take a quarterback. But and another thing, the number one pick, everybody's sold on Sam Darnold now after his pro day yesterday. He's standing there, and I'll give it to him, he's raining. I saw a couple of 60-yard throws that looked pretty good, but we knew he could do that. He's standing there in shorts and a T-shirt. I mean, like, you're never going to look better than you do on your pro day. And I still, compared to Josh Rosen, I think Josh Rosen's the better quarterback of the two. And I would think that, number one, they're going Rosen or Donald. Number two, the Giants are sitting there. How do you not take a quarterback if you're the Giants? Yeah. You've got this quarterback class right now. And obviously, I mean, I think they're still going to stick with Eli. But if you want to – when are the Giants going to be drafting this high again? I mean, you can't – this is a team that people thought could go to the Super Bowl last year. And now, instead, they're picking number two. I think while you're there, you've got to get a quarterback. So I think Darnold, Rosen are gone in the first two. And then it's whoever the Jets like, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. I think Lamar Jackson might get thrown back into this mix. I don't know if he could go number three, but I think he's going to end up somewhere in the first round.
Yeah,
that's just how the NFL is right now. That's how important the quarterback position is.
Well, you talked about the Cleveland Browns before, and we'd be remiss to not mention the retirement of Joe Thomas, who might be the best offensive lineman of our generation. And I pulled up his career. He played from 2007 to 2017. These are the records for the teams he played for. He got one sniff of the postseason when the Browns almost made it with a 10-6 record in his rookie season. This is the Browns after the 10-6 record. 4-12, 5-11, 5-11, 4-12, 5-11, 4-12, 7-9, 3-13, 1-15, and then 0-16. That is Joe Thomas's career.
Pretty consistent.
It's
brutal.
It's like Barry Sanders. What you hear with the sometimes with the Detroit Lions, who are essentially the Cleveland Browns of the NFC, with Barry Sanders and when he retired early, Calvin Johnson retired early, just the wear and tear the game puts on their bodies, and just thinking, I'm part of a franchise that is so dysfunctional, keeps getting their own way, and they play in divisions with teams that normally make the playoffs. Like, Cleveland had to deal with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati six times a year, which those are three teams that you expect at least two of them in the postseason almost every year. So it's just sad when you think about a player so good, just having his career almost wasted for a franchise, just this terrible. It reminds you how much a player has control and does not have control of his situation.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the most overlooked things in sports. When you're talking about the great players, we all know they have great ability, but one thing that's always overlooked is availability. Like, are you available to play? Like, LeBron never misses a game or never misses a playoff game. Like, he's always there. That's such a big thing. And Joe Thomas had something like over 10,000 consecutive snaps played in the NFL. That's a crazy number. And especially, you know, to find that self-motivation because you weren't getting much from the rest of the team. That's pretty crazy. Another guy that we should mention, he's getting on up there in age, but has another crazy Frank Gore, the running back. He went back to Miami, and I think he signed a one-year deal. But that's another guy. Like, I don't think he's missed a game since 2010. And you're talking about a guy who was nothing but injured when he was in college. And I don't think I ever expected anything. I mean, Miami was kind of running back you there for a while. Mm-hmm. Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, and Frank Gore comes out, and you think, well, he's not as good as those other two guys, but he's outlasted them by what seems like a decade.
Yeah. McGahee and Portis, they were some really good running backs too. Like, I remember watching McGahee a lot because he played for Baltimore for a while. like, those are two running backs who, if they didn't get injured, they would have been potential Hall of Famers, because they was they were superstars in making. But Gore just seemed, you know what he reminds me of? I'm not sure how familiar you are with baseball. He reminds me a lot of Mark Bulley. And those people who are familiar with baseball knows what I'm talking about. Mark Bulley, I'm pretty sure, had like 14, 15 straight seasons of at least 12 wins of a sub-4 ERA. Mm-hmm. It's just a steady decade and a half of consistent greatness, but of being a really solid player. I don't think that gets celebrated enough in sports, of just being on the field every day or being on the court every day for a decade and a half, and just doing a job and being really good. He's only had three seasons of below 1,000 yards, and one of those seasons was because he injury. That was like, for the past, what is it here, like 5-6 seasons, he hasn't missed a game.
Well, here's another thing. Frank Gore, he's working on a 12-year streak of getting 1,000 yards from scrimmage, combined with rushing and receiving. And I bet you didn't know. I had no idea. Frank Gore is fifth all-time on the rushing list, and he's about to pass Curtis Martin. I would have never thought Frank Gore was fifth.
Like that. Well, I remember watching Curtis Martin. Again, the Northerner coming out right now. Curtis Martin was like the best thing about the Jets for a long time.
As far as all time leading rushers go, I think longevity is obviously much more important than consistent excellence, if that makes sense. Because the top three guys, Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, are, they're clearly a little bit better than Frank Gore.
Yeah,
I'd say. Yeah, well, because they're just
Well,
amazing
Smith
players.
Has always stuck out to me as a guy who he stayed around forever, and he got number. I don't think Emmitt Smith is anywhere in the same neighborhood as Barry Sanders or Walter Payton or Jim Brown. Yeah. I think those guys, like talent wise, were ahead of Emmitt Smith, but Emmitt Smith happened to play on one of the, best teams. The Cowboys through the mid and late 90s were always great. They always had a great offensive line. But you look at guys like Barry Sanders and Walter Payton, who for the majority of their career played on bad teams with bad offensive lines and still racked up those numbers. I mean, those are the two guys that stick out to me. And, of course, Jim Brown was kind of before everybody's time, but if you go back and hear stories about him, he could arguably be the best running back too. But yeah, Frank Gore being on that list, that was kind of surprising to me. But good for him.
Yeah. Well, I guess last thing before we sign off, has there been a move in free agency or even like a trade in the draft that surprised you, or said, or at least had you going, that was a good deal.
Yeah, the Bears signed Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, the tight end from Philly, Trey Burton, and I'm pretty sure that locked up a Super Bowl for my guys. So I don't even know where we're going to play the season.
Well, the Browns, they made two pretty significant moves in getting Landry and Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Tyrod and Landry. So that was pretty good move.
I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs this year, but they're definitely going to win at least one game this year. So,
well,
at least one game. Going out on limbs here.
The over under half a game. Could they get a fourth quarter lead? That's the big question. Yeah. I do like the Tyrann Mathieu to Houston. Just always. Yeah. That defense just gets better and better. And I like the Giants, the Buccaneers acquiring JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, mostly because I can watch funny memes online of JPP as the Buccaneers, and he has a hook hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez. I thought, and one other thing that I don't think we mentioned, Ndamukong Suh, I guess he's down to three teams. I don't see any way he's not going to end up on the Rams. That's a all-star defense right there, and playing for Wade Phillips. I mean, that guy, he's never not had a good defense. So the Rams, that should be fun to watch. And Ndamukong Suh lined up next to Aaron Donald. That's scary.
I think like a 1 or 2 year deal because Goff still has some time before he gets his big contract.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, those cheap quarterbacks, man. That's the way to go now. Get a rookie quarterback, build a great defense, and
keep them.
Yeah, the Eagles prove that. So, you hear that, the rest of the NFL? All you got to do is get a rookie quarterback and hope he's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, and you're golden. Well, that's it for the Carolinian podcast. We'll see everyone next week when we discuss. I don't know. We'll surprise you what we discuss. Bye.